How was the week? Any big events? Like, we had a big event last Sunday that we were able to discuss. Oh, that sounds so nice. So nice. Anyone else have any theological discussions that we can now discuss theologically? Okay. Yeah.
Like, hey, said something about I don't offend, but funny. Like, it's not like you offend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so something's working on his heart.
Yeah.
Well, we know what is working on his heart, but.
Like, in my head, I was thinking, oh, I should. Yeah, but I didn't say that to him because I figured it would be a little intense first.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
that
good insight. Yeah, something's already in there. Softening him to think about that.
Yeah.
And have you had many conversations that he knows he's connecting you with God already? Okay. Oh, okay. Awesome. Okay. Anybody else go to cardio worship? Well, I was there for like 2 seconds. No, I did not take pictures. Put that out there to the public. Thank you for throwing that out to everyone. I was not taking pictures. Peter is up with Miranda at her parents' house. So, not here today. Super sad. We can all Facebook Miranda and give her a hard time for not driving down. Don't. But we're asking if anybody had any theological discussions this week with any non-believers or believers who aren't reformed. So we had a story last week. I'll open it up to you guys right off the bat, but well, good. Did you have one? Can everyone else hear? Okay. Yeah. Will you tell the whole class?
Oh, project.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, usually I'm way too loud.
Oh, no, please.
I'm trying to
give it to us.
I'm sorry. I had a conversation with a friend of mine who's having a marriage problem. She's concerned for her own salvation as well as her husband.
Mm.
I feel that she's not 100% confident of it. I tried my best. I always feel that I fall short of when I'm questioned or the floor is left open for me. Evangelize.
Yeah, you're not alone.
I feel like I may be letting God down in a way that I'm not having the right things to say. So I do my best to basically, not necessarily the best thing, but I try to put myself in that person's shoes because I was once there.
Mm.
So I try to basically walk them through like what had happened to me along my journey.
Yeah.
So I kind of use my testimony and what I'm experiencing now to help that individual. I don't know that it does.
Yeah.
But I did my best to be as encouraging. When somebody doubts of their own salvation and then someone who, is like number one in their life,
you
care about whether it be their kids or spouse, I feel like it's hard for, I don't have the right words. I don't have a magic wand. I explain that it's God's work in their heart, and that they are, they and tried to have it.
Yeah.
And so it does drain you. It drains you when you don't said the right thing. You want to be able to give them all the information and be completely, like, straight biblical. But I don't have it yet. Or I don't know that I'll ever quite get there.
Yeah.
But I feel like I did better. I had confidence a little bit in,
okay,
in knowing, hey, I've been where you're at.
Yeah.
I know where you can be.
Mm.
You know, but I also said that it's all God. So it has to happen on His time, and the trials and tribulations we're going through right now, I feel that that's refining her, and that,
yeah,
she will know at one time in her life why she's going through that.
Yeah.
But I didn't. So yeah, I did have a. I mean, we didn't go deep. It wasn't like theological, but it was.
Yeah. Well, you're still doing counseling. Yeah. And that'll never go on deaf ears, especially someone who's looking for a friend, and never doubt the effect of your testimony. I mean, especially the six testimonies that were given before the baptisms made huge impacts. I mean, it's going to have even a bigger effect on someone who's not a believer and someone who may be following in your footsteps, going, oh, well, there is hope for me. Because there's hope for her, and she came.
One thing that individual who's listening, yeah, to your testimony, they can't deny,
sure,
what happened to you.
Yeah.
They cannot choose to not believe it.
Yeah.
But it's undeniable.
Sure.
Because you're, mm-hmm, you're living proof.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Mm. So yeah. Good. Did you raise your hand? Yeah. Oh, the Pope? So for context, we have a Facebook group that is just private to church members. So we have a page for the public and then a group just for us. And so I shared it on that with kind of the explanation of, we've been talking about total depravity and unconditional election. And so that struck a chord with you. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 It was strange. And that is a good question, maybe, for the Pope. Do you even read your Bible? And that's what we're doing here. But all right, well, if there's not anything else, let's pray and we'll move into the study this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that you're not only love, but you're justice and you're peace. And you know everything, and you're all powerful, and you love us so much. The depth of your love drove Jesus to the cross to pour himself out, to substitute himself for our sins and our deserved punishment. The humility that brings is amazing. And we submit ourselves to you. We submit ourselves to your word. Submit our philosophies, our theologies that the video shared. We submit those things to you in your word. Let it be so. Let it only be that way. Thank you for the group this morning to discuss these things and this outline. Make it fruitful in our lives for you, Lord, in your Son's name. Amen. So we're still in unconditional election. Does anybody want to define it for us quickly? As a quick recap, we said election is God choosing us. Yes. God has chosen us. We've said that He's chosen us before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1. And what does the unconditional mean? We have election unconditional. Without condition. Yeah, nothing in us. So God chose us based on His own condition, not anything within us. I believe we left off on page 4 of the first smaller packet. Do you, Meredith, do you guys have any packet? Okay, so you have. All right, so yeah, we're a couple pages before that, but then I'll just make sure to read it and read it slowly. And then maybe I'll print another copy so y'all can take it home. So any questions or any thoughts that you've had since we've been in this 2 weeks, I think? So anything that has come up as you're at home processing and reading about unconditional election? Questions about things that have been said in the class that need clarification? I love how smart the group is. Okay. It's on a separate tab. So there's a sermon. I think I forget exactly how the tabs lay out, but there's a sermon and then a Sunday school.
Yeah.
Nothing came up? Okay, so we'll have to check out, make sure the link is working. Oh, well, it may be the link is broken too, so it wouldn't be the first time. But which Sunday school were you going to listen to, the first or the second, or just both of them? And then just none of it worked. Okay. Well, let's recap. So we catch everyone up. So the first week, we kind of defined it, and so we just did that shortly, unconditional election. God, it's synonymous with predestination. You'll hear that. We read Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. I'll do it quickly. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Okay, so that's kind of the theme verse. There's other ones that we'll get through later, but as a quick summary. Anything else that I'm missing that you want to summarize or something that hit home for you? Okay. So we'll just kind of continue. We'll make sure that link works so you can go back through the implications. We'll just continue. We're at the bottom of page 4. It says, when we speak about some being saved, that does not imply anything about the final number of being saved. I had a, well, he claimed to be a Molinist, which we won't go into. He's not a Arminian or Calvinist. He's trying to be in between, pulling from both groups. But we were sitting there talking. He's like, well, Calvinism says only a few will be saved. Like, no, that's not what Calvinism is saying, or the doctrine of unconditional election is saying. What, theologize with me, what is unconditional election saying? It's not saying only a few that may be implied or later on taken from, but what is it saying? Yeah. Okay. Are being saved. Yep. And then on the opposite side of that, it's just saying that not all people. It's not, we haven't given a number. We may go to different things in the Bible to say, yes, there may only be a few, but that's not what the position is saying. When, if they want to come at you and say, well, only a few people are going to be saved, and how dare you? No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, it's a, and there are those. Yeah, and that's what. Right.
Like, that's what we
sure. sure, sure.
A couple, a few.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I do.
People probably think it's that drastic.
Right. And we can go.
Literally like a handful.
Right. And those, the path is narrow. Yeah. So there is a universal, God wants everyone to be saved. I mean, a desire that everyone would be saved, but we know not all are. But what, and it is true that there are a smaller amount that are saved than exist. Jim, did you raise your hand? Exactly. And that is key. We're not saying that only a few or a fraction, it may turn out to be a fraction, but all we're saying is we don't know what the fraction is. We're just saying not all, that there is a chosen out from among the worlds. We're not, so don't get pinned in a corner when someone wants to diss on Calvinism. Be okay with pushing back and saying, well, no, we don't put a number on it. How are you putting a number on it? All right, so page 5. So, yeah, moving on to some misunderstandings of unconditional election. What do you think about this? God chooses arbitrarily or capriciously who gets saved and who doesn't. Arbitrarily. Do you think God chooses arbitrarily just by the whim? He was creating the world one day and he goes, oh, I almost forgot. Okay, and then he kind of starts clicking the mouse and choosing people. What do you... Right. So, yes. So there's, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't favorites. There wasn't something evil in it. It implies that there is a reason for why God chose who he chose. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't anything like that. There's a reason. Yeah, keyed into that from Ephesians 1. Yeah, Ephesians 1. Yeah, there's a reason to God's good purpose, goodwill, that he elected. How about point 2? Salvation isn't conditional on anything. Okay, this is a bigger one. Salvation isn't conditional on anything, including faith, repentance, or good works. So someone comes up to you and they say, oh, you're a Calvinist? Well, that means salvation isn't conditional on anything. It doesn't matter if faith, repentance, or good works. It doesn't matter what you do. You're just saved. Sure. Yep. Well, and I think the professor made an interesting point that it's conflating two ideas. It's mixing two ideas of election and salvation, which are not equivalent or synonymous terms exactly. We are elected for salvation. There can be conditions on salvation based on unconditional election. Because there are conditions on salvation, are there not? We had a few people in the church for a while who wanted to really push this concept. But there are conditions on salvation. Faith alone is a condition of salvation. Repentance is a condition of salvation. In a very nuanced sense, you go to James, good works is a condition of salvation. Very nuanced. So he makes a note too, whether a person actually fulfills the condition for salvation unconditionally is tied to election. So there's an intermixing that we want to make clear when we're pushing this. And you may have to go back and read this a few times, but there's nothing, we talk about election, it's unconditional. But there is conditions for salvation. That's only tied to unconditional election. Does that make sense? We may need to read it. We'll keep going. What do you mean? Mm-hmm. And it does do this. But are you saved if you are not repentant? You know, or if you are not by faith alone, if you're doing all these other things. Yeah, so. Correct. Right? And so there is a linear expression. But that is those things that are happening are conditional for salvation. Right. Mm-hmm. No, it's a good nuance. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a good point. And really what essence is getting here. Good. How about this last one? You'll hear this one a lot. You may have heard it already. God forces people to be saved or damned, regardless of what they actually want. You're going to heaven whether you like it or not. Have you heard this one before? Yeah. Why so? It's a very good point. You're right. Yes.
Assuming for the statement you made is that, like, I as a human being, that my will and my decision is somehow God's decision. Like, yeah, not coming out right.
That's all right. Keep going.
It's ignoring God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
It's saying God doesn't actually have power over me.
Yeah.
In the way, in my desire. Like, I'm not.
Okay. Okay.
Like it's making us be the.
Yeah, in a way.
In a way.
I'll give you a second and we can come back. So, say God has saved you, He has regenerated you, you see God for who He is. Are you hating it? Are you. No, I don't want to go to heaven. I see that you're beautiful and all loving and all giving, and but I still don't want it. I've never heard that. Yeah. Yeah, so that may be a clue. Right. How about we go back to, on the opposite side of this, we go back to total depravity. Are there people saying, I'm at war with God. I'm spitting in the face of God. I hate Him and I use His name in vain and I do all these things. But I want to go to heaven so bad. No, right? And God is leaving you in that hatred. He's leaving you in this state of sin, the state of rebellion. And unless he's changing your heart to where you truly see him for what he is, but that is based on a decision made beforehand. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And so to keep it, keep it tied to the point. So are these people going to be repenting whether they like it or not? Because of the, Yes. Yes, and it is that, the point there, if there is nothing in us that contradicts in those realms. I hate God, but I want to be closer to him. Or I love God, but I really, truly want my sin again. There are those pullings, maybe. Your coworker, a beautiful thing to start seeing possibly that regeneration starting to happen. The seeing, like, wow, maybe I am really offending. And he's expressing it to you, but probably, maybe I am really offending God. It's beautiful to see him being able to open his eyes to say, well, there is something going on that's bigger than just offending by saying, oh my, well, you know. Yeah. Any thoughts? Anything that came up? Excellent points. Very good point. Does that change any of those as we go through the misunderstandings or what we have heard or possibly will hear in the future? Is there anything else that gets stirred up? Yeah. Okay. Sure.
But I say I did say what I did first, not generate that. That part was that I
Yeah, and that's an excellent question, and I think that would be left up to you, you're the individual, because there's one point of we sinned before and we sin after our salvation. There's the question of what's going on in the previous marriage. There's lots that go into it, but I'd ask back to you, when do you think you were saved? A true, heartfelt, regenerate.
You know, it seems like, yesterday, but and then I wake up strong. Just not only because I'm learning so much more and I'm getting deeper.
Yeah.
I mean, I love the Lord. When I was younger, in the case of Bible, neighborhood thing, and thanks for grace. So, had that feeling that sure, but I didn't. I didn't God as great. I thought I loved God. I didn't know God. For now, no. Think that God knows God. God knows what He feels about. So, as far as when did all that happen, it wasn't like overnight.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm sure it was gradual. But like I said, it's day I get better.
Yeah.
So when that happened, no, but it was, I didn't God in my third year of it.
Yeah.
My first, my second, I fall serious. I love a man very love, but I loved him because I loved God. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I guess my question is, me failing my was my heart generated? If it was, I think I would just stay there. You know how this and how important it is. I've done that. Second.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess, at least for now, I'd like to pull that into the classification of sanctification. So I don't necessarily want to pin where you were saved, but if you were saved and you're becoming, you remember where you hear the drawing on the board, and we're drawing kind of what sanctification looks like in a brief sense. That's what I think what you're getting into, especially as you're saying your the second marriage and where you are now, where every day there's something new. You're seeing that sanctification happening. And it's awesome that you're able to witness it and feel that and see it every day anew. Whether or not you were regenerated or saved in the first marriage, I'm not sure. It could be that your sanctification was at a point where the divorce happened. I mean, the same way as if we sin today, if you sin tomorrow, it's still going to cut deep because of your sanctification. So maybe there's you're here, there, then, here, now, but it'd probably take a lot. It's an excellent question. We think about.
I mean, I know He allows us.
Sure.
To see
sure.
That we need Him in our lives.
Well, the crucifixion. Yeah, the crucifixion of of Jesus is something that he ordained and he was against. He is against murder. He hates murder. Yet he ordained Christ to be murdered. Okay, so there's something going on in these wills of God. There's a whole nother subject that's a whole nother month or 2 months to deal with, but God is holy. He is infinite. He knows all. His plan has been laid out from the foundation of the earth to be confident in. So don't let what happened then shake you to the point of losing confidence in God. Mm. Yeah. I see a hand.
I made a lot of foolish decisions. I was regenerated, but I still made a lot of foolish decisions. Had a lot of foolish thoughts going on. Didn't know how to find my way.
Yeah.
That pain, that was part of that process of sanctification. And whether you can tie back to that, even if you were, still may have made some, you know, decisions then that you certainly would never make now. In what you know and how you've grown it forward. So, maybe don't be so hard on yourself back to that first area and try and put all those puzzles together, but be thankful for how he's brought you along the process. My thinking process now versus what it was that day I was saved, it's like night and day, literally, for all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, and we all have things in our past from maybe last year or after we were saved that we spit on. I hate that decision. I hate what I did. But God is faithful, right? God is carrying us through. God has taught you a lesson to divorce. Yeah, in a sense. And in a sense, God's foundation, God's providence in the timeline, his timeline, there's a coexistence, a compatibilism in your choice and God's choice. But, and I've talked to someone else about this, in the body of Christ forgives sins. Christ died for sins, right? So if there is sin in that, God has washed it away. It is pure as snow. Okay, so there's no guilt or shame in that decision anymore. You're a new person, and on that sanctification scale, this where you are is not you down here. Okay, so whatever Satan, whatever something is doing to bring shame and guilt because of a past sin, one, that's not you anymore. It was a decision that you made, and it is forgiven. Utterly and completely, 100%. And we go back, there will be a point later on, I think, in limited atonement where Christ thought of you specifically on the cross. Because he's dying for his church 100%. He's thinking of you and what is to come and crying out and feeling the pain of your of sin, of the choices that we make. So that is the point of Christ. When you can spiritually go to the feet of Christ and say, I did this. I made that decision. I hate it. And I see it for what it is. It's clean. It's the beauty of Christ. Okay, so don't. Whatever's weighing on you about that for years ago, don't let it. Spit on it. Give it to the feet of cross, at the cross. It is forgiven. Even in the nuances. In the dots and iotas. It's over. Okay. Christ is good. I know you know that. But we need reminders sometimes. Yeah. That's great. Oh, yeah. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, and then the negative things that you're seeing were usually being clouded of the positive, that you see it. I mean, how many people are out there who don't care, who love it, divorce 5 times because I'm just not happy, so why stay here? I mean, it's a gift that you see it and that you've repented for it and that you're loving Christ deeper and you see yourself better for who you are and that it's helped you in the future. I mean, all of us have gone through that. Really, and I think that's where Satan really clouds my mind when I start remembering sins from the past and going, okay, yes, I did that, but he's also removing from me that Christ forgave it, and then I see it for how Christ sees it. There's such beauty in where you are and how you view past sin. That's really applicable to all of us as we look back and we have something pulling at the heart of how evil I am and how evil I was. Like, yeah, yes, amen. I am an evil person, and Christ saved me anyway. And he chose me out of that from before. He thought of me before he saved the world. He created the world. The depth of Christ's love, of the Father's love, is so deep that we can't see it. But just, yeah, even if something's not divorced, something else is in the past that's you're pulling you down, spit on it, give it at the foot of the cross. Don't let sin just keep pulling you down, because we have been saved, we have been chosen, right? We have been removed from the depths of our sin and our hatred for God, and if the church can't rejoice because of that, no one should rejoice. If we can't have joy and gladness and laughter, no one should. We have the church, and thank you for sharing, because that is what we need, because now we don't feel alone. Because we know at least one other feels the way we do. All of us feel that way. I'm just going to stop. Well, it's time. And next week we'll start with the scriptures. So let me pray. Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, we thank you for this morning.